Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Live from my voice saying this, we present a wheezing groaning sound. I didn't write an intro. I forgot. The reason is that we are talking today about Tomb of the Cyberman, and I took 9 pages of fucking notes.
I think you're forgiven.
Yeah, so joining me is John Rain and Tom Neenan. Hi, guys.
Hello.
So,
hello.
Sorry about lack of intro there.
I just want to say, Paul, love the intro.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. God damn you, Rain. Now, before we dive into Doctor Who Tomb of the Cybermen, I must tell you what was on your old fuzzbox that day.
Please. Can you tell us what's on TV as well?
Yes, of course. Lonely Nights in Devon. Here we go. So, if you're watching BBC One,
yeah.
Things started off, because it is 1967, so programme started at 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock of the AM with Gardening Club. It's Gardening Club. And Percy Thrower grows tomatoes by ring culture in his greenhouse bed.
Oh, God, I hope he didn't know he's back.
What, throwing all those Percys?
It sounds like he's growing tomatoes up his bumhole.
It almost sounds like he's growing tomatoes via his anus, doesn't it?
I hope they didn't get vandalised. I tell you what, whoever did this, mentally ill.
Well, if I just bend over now, get a tight shot, and you can clearly see there's some powdery mildew around them.
Percy, we don't want to see. Well, you know I've got this gun, don't you?
You wait till next week. It's courgettes. Now, after Gardening Club was Bloody Ruddy Grandstand that ran forever and ever, until 5:15, and then it was Jukebox Jury with guests Beatrice Lilly. Anyone?
No.
Georgie Fame, surely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Keith Skewes.
Keith Skewes.
The prodigy.
Skewes. Skewes. Or Skews. Who's Keith Skewes?
Keith Skewes.
Anyway, and then after that was Doctor Bloody Who at 5:50.
Yes. Perfect.
It's Doctor Who. It's Tomb of the Cybermen. It has a lovely little write-up for you, Tom. It says the Doctor meets Professor Parry and his archaeologists on the planet Telos. The expedition is there to unearth the remains of the Cybermen who died out long ago. Or did they?
I'll tell you what. Nice. Tell us more, tell us more.
Did you get out of a TARDIS? Tell us more, tell us more. More.
Percy's grown some tomatoes.
The new poet laureate was announced today. Mr. John Ray. Oh, Jesus H, that's beautiful. Should we just leave it there? No.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Anyway, after that was The Musketeers. No, sorry, it wasn't The Musketeers. No. I can't read my handwriting. It was The Monsters. Beg your pardon.
Very different show.
Very different show.
The one directed by Rob Zombie.
Yeah. With Sylvester McCoy, of course.
Sylvester McCoy.
Yeah. In 1967, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The Monsters. And it just says this. A friendly family of weirdies.
Yes, weirdies.
That's so...
Out of interest, obviously this is not the subject of the podcast. Monsters or Adam's Family? Where do
Adam's Family.
Adam's Family.
when I was a kid, I preferred the monsters, but now I think I'd prefer to watch an Addams Family thing.
Yeah.
Although that new cartoon's fucking dog shit, so probably
they should leave the Addams Family alone now, shouldn't they?
They should, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
the Wednesday's really meant to be very good. This TV series is out today, isn't it?
But it looks like it's just Wednesday goes to Tim Burton's School of Weird Children.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all going to be snakes and spidery, skittery, jittery. Oh, shut up and grow up!
Sorry. You start watching Nightmare Before Christmas and they're like spiders and things and you're like, stop it.
Yeah. Grow up. And everyone's like, slap him. Slap him once really hard. Fuck's sake.
Everyone's like, oh, yeah, sorry.
Sorry, everyone.
Make a fucking adults film for once.
And then he makes one and you're like, ah, actually, stop making films.
Yeah, that was rubbish. You haven't made anything decent since Batman. Put a cork in it. Anyway, a little bit later on was something called the Man of 9 Million Parts.
What does that mean?
9 million cocks.
This isn't going to help because Tom has rightly asked, what does the Man of 9 Million Parts actually mean? Well, according to the blurb, it says, on the eve of the 99th TUC meeting in Brighton, Kenneth Harris gets to talk shop with George Cock.
No.
So that's the man of 9 million parts. I don't understand.
Did you say Keith Harris?
Kenneth Harris, I beg your pardon.
I ate that TUC.
I ate that cock. Kenneth Harris gets to talk shop with George Cock on the Man of 9 million parts.
That sounds like something you get under the counter.
It's just utterly baffling. Anyway, on BBC Two, the programme started earlier than BBC One. They started at 7:30 PM. I beg your pardon.
Oh my God.
7:30 in the evening is when BBC Two started off in 1967.
Oh my God. If somebody you know didn't like get up until 7:30 PM, that you'd assume they're depressed.
I'll tell you what, there'd be a bloody student, wouldn't it?
Bloody student. Oh, too bloody right.
Yeah, someone else has literally have to send someone around to broadcasting house and wake them up. Get up, BBC! Get up! You're late doing your programmes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they started at 7:30 of the PM, Jesus Christ, with 10 minutes of news. And then 10 minutes of news, and then was a show called Show of the Week. Oh, yeah. And it just says, Vicky Carr visits and brings one of her guests.
Brings off one of her guests.
No, and brings one of her. Oh. Vicky Carr visits and brings one of her guests. Okay.
Vicky Carr. Great.
So that was Show of the Week.
That was the what the week had to offer.
And if you're still baffled, don't worry, because next up is Angel Pavement.
No.
Angel Pavement.
Angel Pavement, and it's part 3, Arabian Nights.
Oh.
That's it.
I can't even begin to... if that's a drama, if it's
Angel Pavement.
It's been very odd. I got up and watched the TV. It started at 7:30 at night. I watched Angel Pavement and then switched over to watch the Man of 9 Million Parts. Hey, I'm not paying my bloody licence fee anymore.
It was the Summer of Love, though, wasn't it? So they're all smoking their hashish.
Yeah, Angel Pavement, part 3, Arabian Nights.
I imagine the Angel Pavement theme was like a sitar, like meow, meow, meow.
Angel Pavement.
We're going to find...
Hello,
we're
back at
Angel Pavement is a horrible sex act or something, but it's in a...
Yeah. I went to Thailand last week and Jeff got an Angel Pavement. God, blimey. Yes, quite. Well, after that was The Deadly Arts. The Deadly Arts. Ooh. Yes, and it says this. John Reed looks at sculptures, dolls and dummies.
Good for him.
That was The Deadly Arts.
Imagine trying to get that commission now.
Unbelievable.
There'll be some dolls and dummies coming up in the story as well, won't there?
There certainly will. And we certainly talked about a massive fucking dummy in our previous episode. Mm. But never mind that. It's now 11:15. You've finished The Deadly Arts. It's time for the midnight movie. But very annoyingly, it's at 11:15. I wish they would put that on at midnight. And it's called So Long at the Fair. Yes. And a write-up says this. A young woman comes to Paris with her brother and vanishes.
Oh. And that man was David Copperfield.
Yeah.
And there wasn't much joy, I'm afraid, but that was your televisual goodness on BBC One and BBC Two, but we're not here to talk about that, are we?
I was
going to
say, maybe it was a typo, maybe it was varnishes.
It could be. Yeah, let's do that again. A young woman comes to Paris with a brother and vanishes.
Lovely.
Can we change the Paris to Poland and then it can be like Polish? No, that's work. Yeah. Never mind.
Oh, a young woman comes to Polish with her brother and vanishes. Now, that might be angel payment again. I'm not sure what's going on here. Anyway, we're here to talk about the Tomb of the Cyberman, which was on TV on Saturday, the 2nd of September, 1967.
Sorry, I should point out, by the way, that in Japan, angel pavement is known as Bukkake. Wow. Sorry, carry on.
Well, there you go. Well, that was part. It was part three of angel pavement, so I presume it came in six parts, if you pardon the expression. Anyway, we open...
parts.
Yes. Oh, yeah, 9 million parts. Jesus Christ. We open, of course, on the lovely little, tiny little model of the TARDIS. Oh, looking really cute. And I'm presuming this is because we're the Doctor's doing that lovely thing which all Time Lords get to do, which is show his new assistant around the TARDIS.
Yes.
So this is, in this case, this is Victoria from the previous story. And she does that, why, it's much bigger in here, and all that sort of thing. And why is there a recorder up your bum? And all that sort of stuff. And you also get that thing, which I love when you get with doctors, is the doctor reveals his age. And it's always a bit different every time. Mm. And this time he says he's around 450 years old. Mm. Mm-hmm. Which is quite nice, isn't it? He's 450 at that point. Yeah,
he's going through his teenage doctor. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah, completely buy it, yeah. Mm. Yeah, because previously he was 4 million, so... he's actually Benjamin Buttoned in some sense. And the doctor tells her, yeah, the doctor immediately tells Jamie to take her into another room and get her clothes off, which is very odd. It's because she's in inappropriate garb, I believe, from obviously a previous adventure. Tom, you probably might know, what was the previous story?
It was either Power or Evil of the Daleks.
Okay.
I can't remember which one it was. Yeah.
Right, EO. Okay. And then we immediately cut to a lovely looking rocket ship. It's a nice little prop, that.
Now, this is how you know that there's an episode set in the 60s, because everyone's talking about rockets.
Yeah, it's all rocket ships, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
Spaceships is now the politically accepted way of saying...
Yeah, back then it's a rocket ship.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's Evil of the Daleks, by the way. I just want to get that out there.
Evil of the Daleks. Thank you.
Evil of the Daleks, yes. Mm.
Right, so there you go. So we cut to a rocket ship in, of course, in the usual bog standard Doctor Who quarry, and we meet a massive expedition. This is the problem with this story. There's too many bloody people in this.
It's like Peter Jackson's Hobbit.
Oh, there's like 30 people. It's really insane.
Which also
and they are an expedition, and they're trying to find the entrance to the city of Telos, home to the Cybermen. My question is, why?
Why
go there when you know who the Cybermen are? Because they've obviously heard of them.
We find out later that they've got a plan.
Well, two of them do, yes.
And
yes.
there's a Bond connection to this episode, twice.
Mm. Is there?
Yes, the large black gentleman.
Yes.
He's Quarrel Jr. in Live and Let Die.
Is he?
Yes. And the evil one who wants to let the Cybermen out, he's one of the two professors in The Spy Who Loved Me who get blown up in a helicopter.
That's great facts. Yes. Love it.
Well, yeah, obviously Toberman as well will make his another appearance in Doctor Who as the once again, not speaking large man in Terror of the Autons as well. So there you go.
Okay, that's fair enough. So there's a massive expedition, and I'm already panicking because there's too many of them. And you film them for slightly too long walking up a hill, which is not. It's very nice, and they put some dynamite down and do a big explosion and go, well, nothing's happened. But then they find a very high entrance, a very high entrance, which they all go up to. And one bloke goes, well, I'll open this rather huge mystical gate into the city of Telos, and immediately gets electrocuted. Oh no! Shocking. Yes, and unfortunately we don't get to see the TARDIS materialise, but we hear it very gently materialise. Yes, and someone says, "I just saw a ship land," and you go, "Well, technically you didn't see it land; you saw it appear." But I'm not here to quibble. And then the Doctor and Jamie immediately come out and to have a look around, and immediately get caught by the expedition, like immediately, and literally foot out the door. Oh, sorry, and they get caught. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Doctor goes, Doctor's got his lovely cape on. He's looking all the beautiful hobo elements that we love about him. Mm. And he immediately tells the expedition that he's just going to come and join them. And they all sort of go, well, hang on, who the hell are you? Yeah. And they all argue for a bit. And then they go, oh, well, you're here now.
Yeah.
It's lovely. It's very, very English.
Yeah,
yeah, it's very English, isn't it? So the doctor then goes up to the door and he says, oh, don't worry. Let's get the brute to manually open it. He doesn't call him a brute.
That's a bit grim, isn't it?
It is a bit grim because he thought, well, if he dies, it's fine. Yeah. So he gets him to open it and he does. It's that proper... gets open the door. And they all go into the sort of what looks like the sort of top floor of Telos. And it's a really lovely looking set, I think.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
It looks really beautiful. It looks really lovely. They find two doors and a hatch. And the doctor does what only the doctor can do. He goes, well, I'll open that. Ha-ha, oh, Jamie. And he opens the door. There we go.
Yeah.
But leaves the hatch. And then immediately goes, well, we need some peril now. So shall we all split up into about five teams of seven and make this episode really complicated?
I was getting major Prometheus vibes from this episode.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Completely. Is it Vinder as well? Is it Viner?
There's Viner, Hayden, Professor Quarry. There's so many people in this. There's so many people
Viner
in this.
Is the one who plays the clairvoyant, isn't he, in Planet of...
Of course.
Planet of the Spiders.
Planet of Spiders, yeah.
And he looks like he's terrified from the second that the story starts.
Yes.
He's absolutely petrified immediately. Mm-hmm. And he never stops.
He doesn't want to be there. He wants to get out. Yeah. And to be honest, he's the voice of sense in this because he's like, but we've all heard of the Cybermen and what they used to do. Why are we going into their city?
I'll tell you what, they should probably be getting one of Elon Musk's cyber trucks to go in there. Probably crash and blow up.
Acme truck. Tony B. Liar.
Golden brown, more like.
So the doctor says, I suggest we all split up. And does all that. So Viner, Hayden and Jamie take one door. And the doctor takes another door. And then five of the other fucking people take another. It all just gets very raw. And then Viner is actually very scared and remains with the women. He doesn't like Victoria at all because she's a woman. And he keeps telling her, get out of my way and you can't go in there. You're a bloody woman.
Your tits will make everything blow up.
Exactly. Good Lord. I'll see your bottom and lose my bloody mind. That sort of thing. And whilst Jamie's in another room, he finds a little cyber mat, doesn't he? A little tiny cyber mat.
I hate it.
Yeah. You hate it.
Oh, but you know what? I don't mind that compared to the larger ones we see a bit later, because they've got fuzzy felt mouths. They just look fucking stupid.
They all look like they're from...
And boiled eggs for eyes.
They've got boiled eggs for eyes. And they all look like... Do you remember Morph had a little family of them? There was a little brush that ran around.
Yes.
They all look like that.
And now there's this amazing bit where the doctor basically does some... thinks aloud about, if we did that and that, then you could get in through the hatch, and but I wouldn't do it, it's very dangerous, and then goes, by the way, that's how you do it there. causes all the problems to happen in a weird way by going, well, that's what I would do, but I wouldn't do it, it's very dangerous. So they go, well, actually, doctor, we're going to do that, ha 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 ha, and he goes, oh no, you should not, oh dear. So it's just ridiculous. So the doctor proves his genius with maths, warns against using all the equations, but they go ahead and they activate the main controls. Meanwhile, Kaftan.
It would be fine if basically if they hadn't like set themselves up as being brilliant logicians and basically said like we are the best at logic in the whole of the planet, and then they can't solve a simple problem that looks like one of those things that you have in a doctor's waiting room.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And then you get a little bit of, oh, hang on, someone's not quite right. One of the ladies in the expedition is called Kaftan, which is a very unfortunate name.
Yeah.
She sees Victoria sort of inside one of those sort of like Cyberman-shaped cyber chambers, and she thinks, oh, lock her in, that'll be a laugh. And she's like screaming inside, but she's all muffled. Meanwhile, Jamie is in another room, and he's just noodling around with buttons just for fun. But he activates a sort of groovy 60s cyber wall, which is all, man, love power, yeah. And he gets mesmerised, doesn't he? He gets all like, can he stop looking? Oh, no, etc.
It's a bit like when I was first shown Two Girls, One Cup. It's the same thing.
Two Girls, One Cup. Two Girls, One Cup, Jamie. Let's do one Time Lord, one Assistant. No, Doctor, no!
Bigger on the inside, isn't it?
Come on, Jamie, you've got easy access to drop it in with your kilt. Come on! Sorry, so sorry. So Jamie sort of gets like mind befuddled, doesn't he? And they switch it off. He's like, I didn't know what I was doing for a second.
I thought I was on a farm in Yorkshire.
I thought my contract had been renewed and I was not on this fucking show. No,
I thought I'd gone on holiday again for a couple of weeks, but that was a heart culture, really.
Meanwhile, in the other room, the doctor comes in and goes, what the hell is Victoria doing trapped in a cyber chamber? And releases her.
Yeah.
And she's like, someone, I don't know how that happened, doctor. And she's like, oh, well, yes. Oh. meanwhile, Professor Parry is working on opening the hatch. Yeah.
Yes,
so you've got three parties now in three different rooms.
All sort of doing the same thing as well.
All sort of investigating, pulling levers, without really a fucking care in the world about what happens in a very deadly city full of deadly foes. But that doesn't seem to be the problem. And now Jamie decides, he's got someone with him, and I can't for the life of me remember which of these characters it is. It's one of
Hayden.
Them. Thank you. Him and Hayden goes, there must be something to this. So this time I'll look at the thing and you pull the switches and then you won't get mesmerised. I won't get mesmerised because what I'll rather cleverly do is I'll between my fingers. Oh, that scientific method. Yeah. So Jamie pulls the switch and suddenly, and this is really cool, I like this, a Cyberman comes out the side like a sort of like cowboy. Bang, down, down, down. and you're like, whoa! But then a gun appears and poor old Hayden gets shot.
Shocking.
Finn, end of episode one. You're like, what the fuck?
And the episode endings in this series are a bit better, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're a bit quicker, although there's still somewhere where they go, Doctor,
still a little bit of dwelling.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Doctor. No, careful of that.
But you don't get Dudley Moore's jazz trio to end every episode.
No. That was the week that was. That was the Doctor that was.
It's over, let it go.
So in episode two, Hayden is dead. Viner, you're right. Tom starts panicking even more. We should leave here. We shouldn't be here. The doctor reveals that the reason why he was shot is because they're in some sort of rudimentary target practice room. And thinks it's probably best that everyone regroups because they're in a massive city of death. The professor then thinks, actually, I know it's lovely that we've all regrouped, but I'm actually going to abandon this whole expedition. A member of our party is down. We need to leave, don't we? So what happens? Yeah, very sensible thing to do. Yeah, but Kaftan does a little nod to her henchman. What's he called again? I always forget what he's called. The henchman.
Tobin.
That's it.
Yeah,
and he disappears. He disappears out of shot. And what he's done is he's gone and he's messed with all the rocket pumps and all that, so they can't bloody leave. Cheeky, yes. Yes, dearie me. So now they realise they're bloody trapped there and it could take up to 3 days to repair. So Vine is now going mental. We can't stay here for 3 days.
Yeah.
No, this is ridiculous.
And the doctor is already going to have like a nervous breakdown at this point if he has to stay for 20 minutes.
Yeah, he's definitely getting agoraphobia, claustrophobia, all of it at the same time. And the doctor is already clocking Kaftan and her henchmen. He's already sort of like, I think you two might be rotters, but I'm not going to say anything at all. There's loads of this, and the doctor goes, well, I want you to see what happened. And it's like, well, nine people got killed, doctor. That's what happened.
That's what happened in World War II, doctor.
Yeah, exactly. Hitler wanted to see what happened, and look what fucking happened. He's all that, well, I'll give you the equations. You shouldn't use them. Oh, you did. And I just want to see what happens. What's going on? Anyway, so the hatch is opened and everyone enters except Victoria and Kaftan because they're ladies and they're not allowed to go and investigate because they're women.
Mm.
And their boobies might get in the way of peril or something.
Might all come in our pants.
Yeah. We might all have an orgy. It's like, finally, you've changed your tune. and so all the men go down to do some investigating and Victoria stays at Kaftan. Immediately, Kaftan spikes her bloody drink.
Awful.
Spikes her drink with drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, is it Spectrox, do we think? Is it Spectrox? Probably not. No, probably not. Hasn't been written yet. And so Victoria immediately gets all sleepy. And the hatch is closed. She closes the hatch and traps everyone down in the tomb. It is the tomb, yeah. And they find this lovely, and this is a kind of, I mean, it's 1967. This is a cool looking set for what they've done, isn't it?
I think it's great.
This massive sort of edifice of ice with all the Cybermen trapped in.
And it's really fun, creepy when they come out as well.
Oh, it's amazing when they come out, because obviously what they've done is obviously they can't afford ice, so they've just put polythene and they rip their way through. But they look bloody great, I think, these Cybermen. I think they look great, because this isn't the the sort of blender on top of their head look. No.
Yet. And also, it's not that they're not fucking flying around and they haven't got stupid capes.
Yes. On. Yes, they're none of that rubbish. So they're reactivated.
You know when they go and they get the cyber controller and he's he's crouching in the same way. You know when John Cleese does that weird thing in Fawlty Towers where he crouches and then jumps around.
Up and down. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to begin the Generation Game.
I was just
going to
say that. Yeah.
And then with that amazing voice, go, no, it's not there, you're not there, you're not
there. I mean, his voice is like, it's like they got Stephen Hawking to come in and do it, isn't it?
This Cyberman voice, I've got to say, I love the Cyberman voice in this. It is sometimes very hard to tell what they're saying.
Yeah, but it's a bit scary. I mean, if you
but it's really frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, it's like a ZX Spectrum loading or something. It's so odd. I don't know how they made that effect, but it's brilliant. That way they talk like this.
It's also thin, reedy. There's also some visual effects in this that look quite impressive for the time.
Yeah, brilliant. Like, much better than 30 years later. Yeah. Which tells you so much, It's just mental. So it's Klieg that actually melts the ice tomb, revealing the Cybermen. This reveal is brilliant. And I love the fact that they all have to climb down their little ladders to get out. It's so sweet.
They're basically so wearing sweet boiler and suits with Hoover pipes on them.
Yeah, brilliant. And your cyber leader's got this weird sort of egg-shaped brain. It's so...
He looks like
horrible.
If you bought a Cyberman Easter egg, that's what it would look like.
He's a Kinder Surprise, isn't he? Mm. He's a Kinder Surprise. And I love that they didn't... It's so good. In loads more Doctor Who's later on, you always see a villain in a mask. You just see their gob underneath it. You're like, oh, yeah. In this one, they put this lovely sheet of metal that opens up when he talks. It looks so cool. It's like, wow, that's brilliant. It looks so good, just that prop. It's just so nice. That sort of thing. It's so cool. I love it.
It's like when you go to the post office and you've got to hand in your papers underneath that little hatch.
Yes,
and they like open it and stuff. Yeah, exactly. And that's where you have to poke it through an invoice.
Oh yeah. Oh, imagine a Cyberman in your local post office going, queue number 4, please. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? It's not. Yes, I need my DVA. That online. Oh, thank you very much. So the ice tomb is melted, and Viper refreezes them for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Viner says, we can't let these fuckers wander around, and starts to refreeze them. So Klieg shoots him.
With a gun. We're just like, not like a ray gun, like a bullet gun. That
with
just
a proper old fashioned gun.
Doesn't he at one point say, you know what this is? And everyone's like, it's a gun.
Yeah. It's one of those guns that you've got there. I've seen that.
Yeah, it's one of those guns that hurt people. Well done. Yeah, it's like, well, now fire it at you. Oh, yeah, it's one of those bullets that kill.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So So he shoots him. This is ridiculous. And then Klieg then goes, ah, well, I'll reactivate the ice tube so the Cybermen will have to come out again. Which is really good fun. All this reactivating the chamber. Meanwhile, back up poor Victoria. She's still a bit groggy. And that Jamie must have given her the little cyber mat and she put it in her bag because her bag is a twitching. Bag's twitching on the floor.
It is.
Yeah.
Doesn't Victoria also absolutely just kill a Cybermat with a gun? It's not like a
she
red
does,
gun,
yeah, at one point. And it's sort of like in the face as well. It's like if you close up in the face, like, fuck you! It's like, all right.
Victoria, in your handbag, there's a Cybermat, but there's also a rocket with a bee trapped inside it.
you've got a rocket launcher, mace. Jesus, she's tooled up. Precursor to Ace, Victoria.
Yeah.
Oh, these love eggs.
Cyber love eggs.
Cyber love eggs. And there's a toy in every one of that's Kinder. Victoria sort of comes around. Now bloody Crafton pulls a gun. So it's her and Klieg that are the villains now of the piece. With their own operandis mirandi, so to say. So they pull a gun on Victoria. But the Cybermat escapes and makes a sort of squeaky voice, and Captain goes, I can't cope with squeakies,
and collapses.
Yeah. When I was in the war, it's basically Uncle Albert. When I was in the war,
he was in the and then the dreaded plasticine wars.
When I was in the blue tech wars, all right. And then Klieg finally goes, I am the baddie of this Doctor Who episode. Let's get all the cast in. There's hang on, let's get everyone in. There's 42, 43, 4. Right, you're all here. I'm the baddie, and I'm going to use the Cybermen to become king of the world or something. It's not quite clear, but it would be amazing with their technology. I will take over the world. Done very little research. And the doctor said, well, you shouldn't do that. It's fucking stupid. I'll fucking kill you, you prick. But without saying
those
words.
So it's the idea that he's part of this people, the Brotherhood of Logicians. And they want the power, the sort of might of the Cybermen. Could the Brotherhood of Logicians not, like, hire an army? Or just something other than defrost some ancient aliens?
I thought they were called the Logic Circle.
I was going to say, is it that they just want the Cybermen to help them do, like, tricks? Is that what it is? They want to get out of saw a woman in half, thanks to Cybermen technology.
Bag of auditions out of this Cybermen's bumhole. Yeah. Oh, look, there's Percy Thrower.
Take a look at these kumquats. Percy, no!
Have you seen me blobs?
So Klieg goes, with these Cybermen, I will harness their power, we'll probably strike a bargain. And you just go, this is the undoing of every Doctor Who villain, isn't it? Now I'm working with, what are you lot called? The evil always kill everyone's. Yeah, but now I'm working with them. They'll help me. And then midway through they go, now we are done with you, Biff. But he, you know, he's got to learn that lesson later on.
Yeah,
all the Cyber Army come out of the unfreeze from their sleep. Victoria warns Captain of the Cybermat attack, and she actually manages to shoot it or sort of stun it, I think. And then the Cybermen reveal their cyber leader, who's in his own little antechamber, isn't he? Yeah, knelt down, which is lovely. And Klieg says, I released you! And the cyber leader grips him very hard and says, you will be like us! And it's meow, without meow, it's a Finn again. It's Finn, that's the end.
Sort of their gradual fade-outs that they
that
have.
That was who it was.
That was Doctor Who. La, 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 la. So the cyber leader reveals that actually it was all a trap and they wanted them to come because they were looking for the cleverest people to sort out all their logic puzzles and all that, because once they've got the cleverest people they will enslave them and use them for their own nefarious needs, which is a nice idea.
I think this is a 2-episode story at best. I think there's 2 episodes here that could easily be one,
but I think if you compare this to the Aztecs, then
I'm getting similar vibes. There's the end of episode 2 and most of 3 I was bored out of my mind.
Really?
And then 4 it all kicked in and was good again.
Fair enough. Well, I'll try and whip through it then, because I've got so much.
nine pages of notes you've got to...
yeah, bloody hell. So the scientists know, like, I'm in charge, I'm going to freeze you all, and then when we're ready, we're going to convert you, and you'll become our slaves, and you'll become like us, and you're like, ooh, that's evil.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Kaftan is, she's sort of woken up, but she's pretending to be unconscious, because American Guard Man, I don't know who he is, but one of
them.
Can
we talk about American Guard Men?
Yeah, please do. American Guard Man.
Hi,
he keeps calling Victoria
America.
Vicky. Hey, Vic.
Hi, Dad.
She's like, stop
I'm
calling
American.
Me Vic.
I'm Mr. American. I'm here to fly and drink coffee and
hot dogs, and I live in New York.
So look, the stars and stripes the same.
Mark Carrigan's dad in Peep Show.
Oh yes, of course.
Yes,
yeah. Is that who it is?
But he's not American. Yeah.
No, but
when he says cabbage is Christmas.
Yeah.
It turns out that him and his crew, the guys are like doing the rocket, are like the hired muscle for the expedition, aren't they? But
I looked into one of these actors, not Mark Corrigan's dad, but the other one. Apparently, he's Austrian.
Is he?
So he's doing an American accent.
I'm from New York. Yeah.
That explains the
home
large
of the schnitzel and the, oh, I don't know.
That explains the large pronunciations of the American words, I think.
Yeah.
Hi, y'all. I'm from yippity yuppity Texas.
You all come back now, you hear? Yeah.
Son, I say son.
Has anyone got
you
a dollar?
You ain't no chicken hog.
I wish to buy some falafels. No, not falafels. Some taffy.
Some
Venus
schnitzel.
I mean hot dogs.
Some soda water.
Etc.
They're dreadful.
They are, but you know that, it's forgivable. It's fine. He's, you know, he's doing his bloody best with what
he's got.
Well,
obviously, Mark Corrigan's dad will later turn up in everyone's favourite story, Paradise Towers.
Yes,
so,
well,
of course, yes.
He's subservient to Briars.
So the cyber leader is now saying all his plans. Jamie takes the opportunity to slip away and escape, but is immediately lasered by another cyberman. Oh, right in the sporran. And then a fight breaks out, and the big thug man lifts up a cyberman. You can see the wire. It's so obvious.
It's really well done. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he sort of throws him across the room. You're like, wow, he is so strong.
They should have done a Benny Hill cut, shouldn't they? Whereas he lands and it cuts to him being a real man again.
Yeah.
Like a goodies fast forward cut. Yeah. You know? Yeah, tiny little. Well, if it was a Cyberman being thrown, he'd wake up and there'd be little Cybermats going around his head.
Yeah.
Like birds. Meanwhile, Kaftan grabs the gun that that Victoria had and holds Victoria and the guards at gunpoint because she knows that Cleese revealed his plans, and they're now like, you know, we're taking over. But she's overpowered, and the hatch is opened, and they all climb back out. And the Cybermen give chase. They give chase, but they all sort of manage to climb out just in time with the Doctor right at the end, and he gets grabbed by the foot. He's, oh, bloody hell, no! Oh. And is that when Victoria gets handy with a gun? Fuck off!
Yeah. Whacking that thing is pretty intense.
Yeah. And they do that with the judicious use of smoke bombs, which I always thought the Cybermen would go, yeah, so what? Yeah. But apparently that's, you know, and, you know, I mean, at least they weren't coughing, because that would have been weird.
Yeah.
I'm guessing at this point the gold thing wasn't a thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think
was
that
introduced
point.
In Revenge of the Cybermen, I think?
Well, the first time I came across it was is that the Tom Baker one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gold kills him, which, you know, back in the 80s, just run into the nearest Ratners and you'd be fine. Oh, no, hang on. Anything of gold, didn't it? Worst
Mr.
place to
T
go.
Mr. T
would give him a hug and they'd
So they've all now escaped the hatch, going, there's bloody Cybermen everywhere, the cyber leader there, it's all nonsense. We left Keeg down there because he's a rotter. And then Keeg comes up and he starts knocking on the edge, like, let me out. And they go, oh, go on, they let him out. Why? Why let him out? Mm. He's pulled a gun on him and said, I'm going to take over the world.
Yeah.
And guess what happens when he gets out?
The same again.
He pulls a gun on them.
He pulls a gun on them straight away, yeah. Meanwhile, the Cybermen downstairs are like, look, we can't get out the bloody hatch. Let's send out three Cybermats. And they just look so stupid. I mean, they really do. Bless them. Mm. I think the smaller one looks sort of more effective, but when they're sort of like shoebox size with their fuzzy felt.
Oh, just embarrassing.
Yeah. And I love the way that, right, you need to go up the surface and they're sent up little chutes. little access ramps for them, which is right, really fun and very 1960s.
The doctor bending over and they go right up his bum.
Yes.
Oh no!
Oh, luckily I have. Oh, luckily I have two. Krieg now goes, not only have I got a gun now, I haven't got one of those rubbish earth guns. Mm. I went into that bloody weapon room and I picked up that cyber gun. And smart. Now he literally thinks he can take over the entire world because he's got one cyber gun.
Doesn't that cyber gun have an interesting sound effect as well? It kind of goes a little blubble.
Oh, is that a blubble?
It's like a blubble.
I can't remember.
Please write in if you remember the sound effect.
Yeah. So he stood there and he goes, right, I've now got a cyber gun. Everything is going my way. I suggest we all have a lovely sleep. And everyone goes to bed.
That's mad. Episode 3. Well, everyone's going to bed.
It's just really funny, but the doctor stays up and goes, oh, something's going on. I shouldn't have let this continue, really. And Victoria's like, no shit, dog. Really? Yeah. You literally gave them the keys to this. But there you go. So they're all having a nice sleep. Yeah, please. Yeah. Please say something. Please.
No, there's a lovely scene, which is actually quite rare for this thing, between Victoria and the doctor. Where
oh, the Lambada. Yeah.
All's from Len a 10. where he like comforts her, and it's quite a nice little moment, isn't it? It's sort of very, it's so doctory in a way that sort of is quite rare for this, which is just him being quite sort of avuncular and quite
yes nice. And it's often done with new companions, isn't it? And then literally three episodes in, then he's like, where's Victoria? The doctor's like, I don't give a shit, because that's what happens, isn't it? If you go on more than three adventures with the doctor, then he really can spend two episodes going, who? Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah, fuck. I have no idea.
He's very much like my nan. Like, if I used to stay over at my nan when I was ill. I mean, literally, my nan was a doctor, but
yeah.
He stayed over at my nan. She was very much like, if it's Friday night, hey, welcome. Saturday, right. Have a nice day. And then Sunday, it was literally like, when are you going?
If it was my nan, God bless her, she had a habit of singing everything that she did. So she'd be in the kitchen going, making the tea. And then pouring the tea, pouring the milk. And if the doctor was doing that, that would be brilliant, wouldn't it? Flying the tardies.
Unfortunately, that is how she was arrested for murder.
Yeah.
buying a gun. Excuse me, madam. So everyone's sleep is now disturbed because the three bloody cyber mats come up and they're all like, no, actually it's more than three now, there's like loads, and they're surrounding them.
Yeah.
And there's and obviously they can't move very fast because obviously the limitations of what they've got, but they can leap on you.
That's good, isn't it?
Yep. John doesn't sound convinced. And they can leap on you. They don't seem to do much. And then the doctor goes, quick, pull that massive electrical cord and we'll electrocute the floor. Don't worry, it won't affect us. And you're like, okay.
Sure.
I'm not convinced about that. Because the floor is literally smoking and everyone's fine.
Floor is should lava.
Floor is lava.
Yeah.
Floor is the Rani.
I mean, this is just a boring point, but really, you want one of these little, Cybermen on wheels. You want one to kill one of these 58 people just to show that they're a threat.
Yes.
Because they're just ridiculous.
Yeah, they haven't done anything yet. All they've done is they grip them hard and they've sent up little shoeboxes. Yeah, you're right.
You are right. They're just bothersome, aren't they, rather than
they're bothersome, really, but they sound cool and they kind of look cool.
Yeah.
So all the Cybermats are destroyed, but then Klieg and Kaftan appear together, say, look, we're working together. We've got a cyber gun. In fact, let's see how this works. Points it and fires, and that's the end of part three. And you're like,
and that's when we get the. He points it, then there's like a 10-minute pause.
Yeah.
And then someone goes, Doctor, watch out! Yeah. And then it ends.
Doctor, no, oh!
Oh, no! Oh, God.
He's got the gun in hand, man.
And then you just hear a.
Cat!
We're going to have to film the whole episode again. We've got to fart in the gate, lads. Fart in the gate.
Oh, no, who was it? It was Peter Fart, of course.
Just one more thing.
Just one more episode. Yeah. Kabumbo. He turns up at the end of episode 3. Just one more episode.
And it fades. Everyone just gets no eggs.
Yeah. But it turns out in part 4 that Klieg hasn't shot the Doctor at all. He shoots Callum.
No, someone did a classic, no, jumping away.
Yeah, 10 minutes. No.
Someone did it. What is it? The meme? It's weird nerds and Elon Musk. Yeah. Done that. The Simpsons meme. Exactly. Definitely.
So Callum's been shot, and you think, oh, he's dead, but he isn't dead. He's just been wounded, and he's going, they're just demonstrating the power of the gun. And you're like, all right, yeah.
Not sure about that. At the end of the last episode, it seemed definite that you were killing someone.
Yeah. Exactly. Then Cleek calls down the chamber. He literally opens the hatch and goes, Cyber Leader, are you there? I'm like, when I'm calling you.
There's nobody here but us chickens, he says in his Cyberman voice.
The Cybermen also, in part three, have to go, we're the most powerful race in the world, but we've been up for 20 minutes, we need to regenerate.
Yeah, it's fucking useless, isn't it?
I love it, where it's like the Cyber Leader's been on a heavy night out, and he's like, pulling his help me through the Uber. Just give me my wallet.
Get me a kebab that's actually a pit of bread with nuts and bolts in it.
Wakes up in the morning.
Nuts and bolts.
Of course I do. And he wakes up in the morning next to a Dalek. Bloody hell, what happened?
Can I call you?
It's not you, it's me. Where are my pants? Oh, God. Anyway, so that's how you get Dalek.
Do I have to pay you? No.
No. I thought it was implicit. No, it's not. Jesus. So Cleek calls to the Cyber Leader, who sort of calls out like, all right, hey up. they go, whilst you've been up here and we were trying to kill you, don't worry, we've been having fun, because we managed to get hold of Toblerone, whatever he's called, and we've modified him, the big thug, and he's not quite done, is he? But he's got like a silver arm, isn't he, which he puts under a little cloak.
Little flippers that they have, the little flippers.
He's been half modified, but he's all I'm under control of the Cybermen, that's all.
But we've got the classic struggle within to come as well, haven't we?
The doctor goes, fight it, and then he goes, all right, I've done that. I didn't know that it was that bloody easy, actually. All the bloody fuss was about. So the Cyber Leader goes, Toberman, come up, and so Toberman's like, ha ha ha, I'm evil now. And Cleek bargains with Cyber Leader, so if they just get together, that they could both control Earth at the same time. And again, you like, look at, just take 1 second of what you're looking at. So stupid, isn't it? So the Cybermen decide, instead of killing everyone, which they've been trying to do since episode one, they'll just imprison them for a bit. That's what they'll do instead.
Sure.
But what they do is they go, we'll put you in the weaponry arsenal. Oh no, what have we done?
What a mistake, I don't make up.
So basically everyone is in prison, but once more, poor old Victoria's taken hostage again. By Kafta, now by Cleek. But unfortunately, and then the Cyber Leader goes into not the weapon arsenal room, but the other room, which Victoria got trapped in, and says he needs to recharge. So he gets in, and then they trap him in and go, ha 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 ha, 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 ha. And then he just punches his way out. But
he does,
Very cardboard.
It's very cardboard, isn't it? Yeah. But do you know what? I forgive it, that because the rest of the sets are looking so nice.
Who's putting the Cyberman logos everywhere? Is it like the Cyber Banksy?
I was about to say it's a Cyber Banksy, isn't it? Yeah, it's definitely.
It's two Cybermen kissing, and it's like that's meant to mean something. Yeah.
I like the way one is holding a balloon. It really speaks to me.
Have you seen Cyber Banksy's new one? It's lovely. It's a Dalek on a bath night. It's lovely. It's searingly political. So the Cyberman, Cyber Leader smashes his way out, and the Cybermen start crawling out the hatch. They're now being shot. It's basically a big fight now.
Yeah.
And then the Doctor and Toadman go back down into the hatch and think, we need to end this once for all and refreeze them. But during the panic and the melee, Cleek follows them, which is mental, because this is one person you should be keeping your eye on, really. Yeah. But he follows them, and the Doctor then attempts to refreeze the Cybermen, but Cleek stops him.
Mm-hmm.
So then the Doctor goes, it's a bit over eggy, the pudding, but the Doctor actually goes, do you know what? I think you're an absolute amazing person, and your thing is wonderful. In fact, I'd like to help. And Jamie's like, Doctor, no. I mean, it's so blatantly obvious.
Yes.
Flattering him. and buttering him up.
Jamie's so fucking thick.
Yeah, yeah, daughter. Really, it's like you're trying to use some kind of reverse psychology. What are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, Doctor, you're saying that to lull him into a... Oh, sorry, Doctor, you're fucking good, aren't I? Oh, Jamie! So the Doctor continues flattering Klieg, but then abandons that and goes, oh, actually, no, I've decided you're fucking mad, you are. You're absolutely... Even he abandons that.
He does.
You're absolutely off your rocker.
Doesn't he?
Yes,
he does,
yeah.
You're a mentalist, yeah. And then drives away.
And during all of this, the Doctor talking to Klieg and the Klieg and all that, there's a Cyberman just very slowly walking up towards Klieg from behind, mm-hmm. and then just kills him. Yeah, oh, well, there you go. And then it's a massive shootout now, isn't it? And for some reason, which we've seen this later on in Doctor Who's, the Cybermen, like a lot of aliens, are full of shaving foam.
Yeah.
They're just full, packed full of shaving foam, aren't they?
That's so weird.
None of them have got beards, though, have they?
None of them.
So it works.
Yeah.
It does work. And then I don't know how the Doctor sort of like refreezes all the Cybermen. I don't know. Like, he doesn't herd them like cats, but for some reason they all
They just reverse the film, don't they?
Yeah, they reverse the film.
They just go back in again.
I don't mind that, but it's how does the Doctor... I can't even remember how the Doctor goes, can you all go back to your beds? And they all go, yeah, it's all right then. Mm. And then, I'm going to refreeze you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, okay, that's fine then. and the cyber leader, who you thought was dead, being shot, isn't dead, and runs after them all. But they're all now running out the door, and they reseal the door, and the cyber leader's like, no!
Well, have we missed the bit where Toberman picks up the cyber leader and just slams...
Yeah, slam dunks him. Yeah. Fucking incredible.
I wonder if the makers of Return of the Jedi watched this scene.
Oh, yeah, of course. Mm. No. Yeah. Oh, no, it's not that. Not when he says no, but it's when he throws him off the Brit. Yeah, crucially, he doesn't say no.
Yes. Oh, and of course, as they leave the chamber, the Doctor re-electrifies the door as well, very handily.
Oh, yeah.
So the cyber leader electrifies himself as he tries to open
the
door and slumps down. And you're like, oh, that's the end of the Cybermen. And then I've never seen a faster exit in any Doctor Who.
No.
The Doctor doesn't even say goodbye. They just fuck off, literally.
I mean, it's like Trouton going to give his maintenance.
I presume Trouton just needed a shit behind a rock. Yeah. Just it's unbelievable. But there's one thing still out there, and that's a tiny little cyber mat. Dum, dum, dum.
Whoa.
Which is just going to do nothing, I presume. So there you go.
Toblerone's ass.
Yeah.
And that was the complicated, overcast Tomb of the Bloody Cybermen.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my word.
Oh, John, I get the impression you didn't like it much.
I didn't like it at all, no. But
oh, really?
You need to go first, because it's your...
I do. No, well, first of all, what do we score it 100 out of?
Cybermats?
Cyberbanksies?
Cyberbanksies?
Cyberbanksies. Yeah. Cyberbanksies.
So it's out of Cyberbanksies. What are you going to give it?
I genuinely thought it was a hoot. I really loved it. I know some of the early Doctors can be a bit pedestrian and a bit slow. I know it's a four-parter, but my only complaint is there's just too many people in it. But I love the look of the Cybermen. I love the way they sound. I love the idea that it's mankind that causes the problem. We awaken them and they went, brilliant, we'll take over the world.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as that. I kind of love the way the Doctor allows them to make all the mistakes and goes, I wouldn't have done that, but again, lets people be killed for it, which is very odd. I just loved it. I don't know, maybe I was in a really good mood. I just thought it was really good fun. So I'm going to give it 60 Cyber Banksies.
60?
Oh. Yeah, I thought I loved it.
Oh, fair enough. I'd say I think it's... I love the sets. I think they're very good. I think Troughton has never been better.
Yeah, he's great.
He's so good, and he's so like cantankerous, and he keeps on sort of dropping little hints about how to solve all the problems and everything, and that's really fun. And I'm gonna go quite high on this one. I'm gonna go 85.
Jesus. Okay, let's get ready for a four.
Well, I've got no complaints with Trouton. I love him.
Yeah,
right.
He's a fantastic Doctor, and Jamie's fun. And like I say, I got a bit of a Prometheus vibe from it, and there were nice sets and everything, and the Cybermen are fun, but it's just too long. There's too many people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two episode story, maybe a three, but not a four.
Right.
And I just found it torturous towards the end, because, and that's not anybody's fault, because it's, you know, the time it is and they're trying to do these fight bits and it's a bit chaotic. Yeah. So I'm going to give it 12.
Oh my goodness!
Banksy Cybermats.
Wow.
Oh, that's lovely. Mm-hmm. That's lovely. Because, I mean, you have given something zero before. Yeah. I believe, so
I've given minuses before.
Is this the biggest disparity we've had of any story?
I think so.
Ooh.
Because it's 157, which will be controversial.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I think if I think about all the Cybermen stories, I prefer this Troughton one to a lot of the much later ones, which are just stupid.
Yeah.
Well, this was very simple. We go into a tomb, we wake them up, they cause chaos, and we fucking run away.
Mm.
Perfect for me. And it's just seeing Troughton is always just a joy, I think.
Yeah.
He's so good.
He is.
Yeah. Do we have correspondence, though?
We do, but not a lot for tombs, I'm afraid.
Oh, that's okay.
Unless there's more here, no.
In fact, we have none.
Well, there's only a couple, I'm afraid. Color Horizon Review says, Tomb. Klieg, Parry and Viner is probably the greatest love triangle in the show's history. Poor old Viner probably had an arsehole like a desiccated blood orange.
Oh, God!
Dave says, Tomb, initially disappointing when it came back. When it came back and I saw it for the first time, but Troughton is astonishingly good. And in places, it's legitimately chilling because it's ice tombs. Get it?
Oh, very nice. Very nice, of course.
Yes, yes.
Ben Thomas says...
Get ready.
Fraser Hines made a pass at Shirley Cooklin, Kaftan, during the filming of Tomb of the Cybermen, not realising she was the wife of the producer. Can't imagine that stopping Troughton. It's wobbly in places, as are some of the performances, and the boom mic appears on screen. Oh, I did notice that, yeah.
Yeah,
there's a few boom shadows.
So often, the operator should have got an acting credit. However, they sleep in my mind scene between Troughton and Debbie where Watling is unadulterated magic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fun fact for John. Desmond Sausage Fingers Llewellyn was originally approached to play Professor Parry.
Really?
Apparently. Oh.
Greg Newport says, Tomb of the
Cybermen. He could have opened those tomb doors with one thumb.
Yeah. Greg Newport says, Tomb of the Cybermen, where Mary Whitehouse's mind's eye first reared up at the sight of Cybermen writhing in its own creamy white fluid.
Oh, my
brother. Yay! And I'm just checking. Oh, Andy Parkinson says, Tomb, looks amazing. The music is eerie and Troughton steals every scene. Okay, the £50 reward dates it and the controller's head looks like a bell end, but the biggest issue is the doc knows what's in the tomb. Why does he help? 80 out of 100 who shut the hatch when the cybers first hibernated.
Good point. Maybe it's automatic.
Toby Haydoke.
Yay!
Tomb. £50 to the one who gives this the highest score. I'm old enough to remember when this didn't exist. Just having it makes me all fuzzy. Merrison excels in a small role. The opening film work is amazing and the cyber emergence is glorious. 75 space anoraks out of 100.
They do say anorak a lot, don't they? In this episode, it's very strange.
Mark. He says, I remember Tomb being found. Always felt uncomfortable about the white squiggle effect. All the regulars, especially Troughton, who had some classic one-liners, are on top form. Oh, yeah, well, you should say that I enjoyed his joke about them saying they were having a metal breakdown.
That's fun, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, Doctor.
Mentally ill.
That's good. I like that. You're mentally ill.
Yeah.
They should be shut away in a metal asylum.
Nice.
Like, calm down.
Yeah,
like,
nice.
Doctor, calm down.
Their least favourite song is Gold. Oh,
they should be.
How do you know that song already? It's weird.
Stainless Steelatorium.
If things get bad, they could call a copper.
Yeah. And
they've got some brass neck.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Metal to meet you, sorry.
Platinum.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
sorry, Marky. Guest Platinum. Cast is all top-notch too, like a 50s sci-fi movie more than a low-budget TV show, which I think is fair.
Yeah.
Rob Leonard says, regardless of all else, the singer's greatest thing about Tomb is when the Cybe emerges from the hatch.
Yeah.
It's accidentally hit full in the face, and you can very clearly hear the actor inside go, Ooh.
I thought he holds his head. Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, you bugger.
There is a point where they get hit and just one of them goes, ooh. Yeah.
sorry. Can I take that again? Ooh. Yeah.
Right, it turns out, maybe because Twitter is dying, there's loads of Tomb, but when I looked a minute ago, I couldn't find any. Here we go. Tim Coleman, Tomb, Stone Cold Classic, Nightmare on Planet. Planet B jams and scares put to the frozen. Sorry, I'll start again. Tomb, Stone Cold Classic, Nightmare on Planet B jams and scares to put the frozen shits up you. Okay, Cyber Controller has to walk slowly or his brain falls off. The Cybermats look a bit like Gonch from Great Hill. Rarely have cyber stories been cooler. 85 Viennettes out of 100.
Oh, nice.
Ben Cowdell says, Tomb, I use logicians to detonate intensely silly people as they fall hook, line and sinker to the Cyberman's trap, the Doctor helping the fools to their fate with the puzzles. Andrew F says, Tomb of the Cybermen, not a huge fan of this one. Thank you, Andrew. Though the Tomb set is amazing given the resources available. The scene with the Doctor telling Victoria about his family makes it all worthwhile, though.
Yeah.
One of Troughton's best moments.
That's lovely.
Nick Burden, Tomb, some amazing Troughton moments, seriously scary Cyber moments, spoiled a little by repeatedly going in and out and in and out of the Tomb, and the sing song, noises from the Cybermen. Maybe they were trying to sing the theme tune. Imagine my shock later when sat in an engineering maths lecture finding out all the cup functions symbolic logic stuff is actually real.
I felt
like completely out of my depth, Eric Killig.
It's a nice touch.
Alex Brogan. Oh, Alex Brogan, wonderful man of many voices.
Yes.
He says, Tomb of the Cybermen. Reckon the evil brotherhood of logicians is based on Mensa. That would explain why their plan is so eccentrically dur-brained. Also, the Doctor reconstructs the JFK assassination and Clive Merrison vanishes into thin air. That's all the correspondence for this week. Thank you very much, sir.
Well, there you go. That was Tomb of the Cybermen. And thank you so much for listening. And I do apologise for lack of intro. But we will be back. We will be back with another choice cut from the... how do I finish this? Choice cut from the brasserie that is Doctor Who's Delicatessen Tardis and
Maybe we'll have another... Classic monster, another brilliant monster. Who knows what will happen? Yeah.
Until then, keep on the wizard on the ground.
Goodbye.
Do it inside, man.
Goodbye.
Was. It started way above par, finished way below. That was the week that was. It's over, let it slide. That was the week that was. I took him at his word. He took me for a ride. Like Monday we met up at somebody's pad. I don't recall much but the kissing we had. Like Tuesday was whose day for making a scene. Like his day, cause his way was moody and mean. Like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I told him to pack. Then I cried all weekend, cause he didn't come back.
Hello, Steve here.
It's Brenda.
Steve's not here. This is Norm.
It sounded like Steve.
Yes, well, he left a message.
What did it say?
Go out and get some taffeta lace. It's a goodbye.
Goodbye?
Goodbye.
That was the week that was. It's over, let it go. That was the week that was. I've got a lot to say, but nothing left to show. On Monday he gave me no beautiful things. On Tuesday no diamonds. On Wednesday no rings. On Thursday he failed to add gold to my stack. On Friday no mink found its way to my back. Saturday is known to be my best shopping day, but I soon found out that he was giving nothing away.
Hello, Steve here.
It's Brenda. You are elusive.
Yes, I suppose I am a bit of a tartar.
Tartar?
Ta-ta.
That was the week that was. It's over, let it be. That was the week that was. It may have been been all right for you, but not for me. That was the week that was. Over, let it go. Ooh, what a week that was. That was the week that was.
Hello, Steve here.
It's Brenda. Are you coming round?
Yes, well, of course, I mean, I'd adore to, but you see, I'm just off to Spain to stay in a hacienda.
Hacienda?
Hacienda, the affair.